Exodus chapter 29. Get ready, because it's going to be bloody. It's going to be a little gory, but it's God's word nonetheless. Chapter 29 is actually an ordination service. God has been telling Moses on top of Mount Sinai. Am I saying that right? Sinai. He's up there still talking to Moses, still giving him all this information. As I've said in the past, hopefully Moses is taking notes. This is a lot of information, but God is now going to give Moses the instructions on how to ordain Aaron and his sons as priests. And one thing we're going to take note of over and over again is that it's God who ordains men. It's God who ordains and calls men and women into ministry. You know, we, and I have in the past, is Pastor RJ here? No. I've ordained Pastor RJ as my assistant, but it was God who actually did the work. We were just acknowledging the work that God had done in his life. And so when it comes to ordinations, and certainly different denominations, different churches will do it differently, it really is to us here at Calvary Chapel just a recognition of the work that God is doing in a man's life or a woman's life, and to put hands and lay hands upon them and agree, in agreement of what God's doing, and continue to pray for them. So in this ordination service, you're going to see God do a lot of things, and really Aaron and his sons just kind of go through the motions. And it's, to me, it's a great reminder of letting God do his part and letting us just follow what God tells us to do. We live in the days of we all need to be doing something. We all need to be involved in something. We all need to, you know, participate in different events. And I was even speaking to someone this night. It's just the place that we live in is like so hard to get people to participate even in church activities because they have so many other activities that are going on. But here we're going to see just God do it, God ordain it, and God call it. And if you step back and look at it, it wouldn't be that beautiful. It wouldn't be that exciting. I mean, ordination services today, you have nice music and we have nice prayer and we have all these types of things, but I don't know about you, if you've ever seen an animal killed, it's not a pretty sight. And that's what God is going to do here for Aaron and his sons. We are going to look at four steps, basically, of this process through the ordination. Number one is there's a washing with water. Number two, there's an anointing with oil. Number three, there's animal sacrifices. And then finally, there's an anointing with blood. And so this is the process that God is going to give to Moses for Aaron and his sons. And as I've already kind of stated, God chose Aaron and his sons. They didn't choose. Moses didn't choose. Nobody gets to pick. God got to pick. And so that's what we're going to see here tonight. And hopefully make some stops along the way and maybe get through the whole chapter. If you've been here long enough, you know that would be a miracle. At any rate, let's look at verse 1, chapter 29. And this is what you shall do to them, to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robe of the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the intrinsically woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head, and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. It's a consecration service. And we see right out of the bat that God says you're going to wash them in water and you're going to anoint them with oil. And I hope, as I've read that, and hopefully you've read that, that some things are becoming pictures in your mind. When we speak of the tunic, when we speak of the robe, the breastplate, the ephod, the turban, and the plate, the gold plate, what was written on the gold plate upon his tunic, upon his turban? Anybody know? Participate. Holiness to the Lord. Holy to the Lord. That's what was written on as the priest would go in. And so it's very important for us to be reading our Bibles and remembering what we've already learned. It's amazing to me, just as a side note, that God basically tells them, put all of his garments on, then dump them with oil. You know, he waits till he's completely dressed. Then the oil gets poured upon Aaron and his sons. But don't let me get myself ahead of myself here. The elements for preparing Aaron and his sons. In verse 1, he says, and this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering to me as priest. There was something that needed to be done for Aaron and his priests and his sons, excuse me. There was something that Moses was going to do to them to prepare them and get them ready to serve God, right? And that's we've seen this before. We've seen the importance of the ministers, the priests, those who are called into ministry to be ministering to the Lord, first and foremost. But we see here, as God placed Aaron and his sons in the ministry, he's the one that chose them. He's the one that picked that line. He's the one that set the Levites to be those priests. The sons, if you saw it there, perpetually, forever, any son, any child that came from Aaron's line was going to be in the priestly family. They were born there, connected to Aaron in that way, gave them the right to serve in the house of God. And guys, each and every one of us has that pleasure because we are connected to the high priest. We are all connected to Jesus Christ. We have been grafted in. We have been invited into the priestly line through Jesus Christ. We all have an opportunity to serve. And I'm not talking about in church. I'm not talking about being a greeter at the church door. I'm not talking about someone who hands out Bibles. I'm talking about an opportunity for you to be used by God to minister to somebody the goodness of God, to encourage people, to speak truth into their lives. I believe we live in days that the truth needs to be spoken more. And if we're not speaking the truth and teaching the truth, then we might as well be speaking the lies. Because let's face it, the enemy's gaining ground. And we are seeing a culture that is more accepted of sin than ever before. Things that we would be like, are you kidding me? We allow this? These are the things that are happening, and we need to pray. I just think of some of the young kids that are running around in our church these days. It's like these kids are going to come up under such obstacles and such peer pressure. For them to say, I am never going to have sex with anyone before I get married is going to be a challenge for them in the schools that they give and the friends that they have. Those are the challenges that we have. It's just foreign to people to think of even just that, let alone the other things that are out there for these kids. But no, we need to make sure that we are being those ministers of the truth. Because let's face it, it's so much easier to say it's none of my business. It's so much easier to say, oh, I'll pray for them. Instead of stepping up, speaking the truth in love, from the perspective of love. Jesus died because he loved. That's why he gave his life. That's what he did for each and every one of us. No, he was placed in the ministry. And Paul said this to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. God, Jesus Christ, put Paul into the ministry. It is important that if you're going to be in the ministry, that it's a call from God. It cannot be just a good idea in your head. It cannot be just a good determination in your heart. You must be called to it. And if you are, and I say this so much, I feel like I'm so repeating myself, but if you're doing the God-given thing that you're given to do, it's going to come naturally. It's going to come easily. When it's difficult, then you're trying to force it. You just need to be the person God created you to be. And I've said it time and time again. Just share people what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Start there. Start from the perspective of what Christ has done in your life. You don't need a theologian's degree. You don't need to know the Greek and the Hebrew and the Bible to tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life. When you look at, I have a picture of somebody who I know is a strong Christian who has such great faith, but to look at him on the outside, you'd walk on the other side of the street. I mean, he looks like he'd kill you, quite honestly. But he loves Jesus. And I look at that and I go, thank God for people like that, because those are the people that can minister to the people that look like that. Right? Quick story. Man, I don't want to get off track too much, but I went to a Calvary Chapel one time, and there was this motorcycle guy sitting outside the front steps of this church. We were trying to find the church, and we finally found it, and we started walking towards the front door of the church, and the guy looks over, you're not going in there, are you? Excuse me? You're not going in there, are you? There are a bunch of Jesus freaks in there. It's like, yeah, we're going in there. We have our Bibles. We're going in. He was the assistant pastor. You get crazy. We're like, man. And the assistant pastor loves the Lord. Testing our faith, I guess. I mean, I'm like, are you trying to grow this church? I mean, why would you do that to people? It's like we need to know that God will use all kinds and call all kinds into the ministry. The elements, he tells them in the verses 2-3, he tells them, these are the things I need you to prepare for this ordination service. A bull, two rams, and then the unleavened bread, the unleavened cakes, and the unleavened wafers. But notice in verse 4, and Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Hoping you have that picture in your mind. And you shall wash them with water. There's a cleansing that takes place. There's a washing that comes here. Aaron and his sons did not wash themselves. Notice that. He doesn't bring them to the thing, and here's a bath, jump in there and clean yourself. He brings them to the door of the tabernacle, and they cleanse him. He says, I need you to wash them. God is the one that washes us, my friends. God is the one who cleanses us. They were to be washed, and if you, in a sense, think of it as water baptism. The cleansing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the water baptism that connects us to Christ. He says, I need you to wash them. And so they must be washed by water. It's a one-time cleansing. Okay? Wash them. Clean them. Now, in the times to come, they would wash their hands and they would wash their feet as they held and as they entered into the holy places. So there was continual cleansing of the hands and the feet because those would get dirty. But even as Jesus said to Peter, you know, when he went to wash his feet, Peter's like, well, then wash all of me. He says, you're already clean because you believe in me. All you need is your feet cleaned. And this is what we have to realize. Christ cleansed us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. But we get out into the world and we get dirty, do we not? And we sin and we fall short. And that's when we come back to God and ask for forgiveness and repentance. So we need to continually be cleaned up. But we're whole and we're complete in Christ once and for all. Look at verse 5. Now we're going to see the anointing. Or I already read that, didn't I? Then you shall take the garments and put them. Yeah, I did talk about this. We already read this. Then they take and put all the garments on in the order that we talked about. But again, and I'm going to keep saying this over and over, because Aaron and his sons are basically just standing there being participants. They didn't even have to clothe themselves. They were to put them on. They didn't have to make them, they didn't have to buy them, and they didn't have to even put them on themselves. Think about who you are in Jesus Christ. Clothed in what? His righteousness. He put those clothes and those garments of righteousness on us. He's the one that puts them on us. We don't have to make them, we don't have to buy them, and we don't even have to put them on. He puts them on for us. In fact, if you go with me to Romans chapter 3, our first stop, Romans 3. We're going to look at verse 21. Romans 3, 21. Look at this. Paul says to the Romans, "But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ," here it is, "to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference." The righteousness of Christ is available to all who put their faith into God. When you put your faith into God, you now wear the righteousness of Christ. It's His righteousness, not by works which we have done, right? But the works that He's done for us, finished at the cross. I always like to remember that God sees me perfect because He sees me through the life of His Son. It's perfect. I see myself, I see error, I see faults, I see sinfulness, but God doesn't see that in me because I continually am being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's the confidence that we must have, my friends, that it's His righteousness. Now, we need to do our part. We can't just live our lives the way we want. We need to do our part to live our lives that bring glory and honor to Him so that we will be light and salt in this world, to a dark world. But we cannot think at some point that we take off the righteousness of Christ and then start to wear our own righteousness because of the works we've done. No. It's because of His righteousness that we do those works, that we want to honor God and that we want to serve God in that way. But to be reminded tonight that no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, if you have total faith in Christ and not yourself, then you're righteous before God. That holy righteousness that Christ gave upon the cross. Think of that for a moment. Live like that. Let that be your perspective tonight, that it is His righteousness alone. He anointed him with oil. But it's not the anointing like we normally do. You know, sometimes when I anoint people, they're either sick or something that's going on in their life physically, I'll say, I'm going to anoint you with oil. Have you ever been anointed? No. Here, Aaron, they get poured with oil. Dumped oil upon him. I mean, this is the anointing that comes from God for the service of God to minister to him. Guys, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I need to be poured with oil. I feel like I need the oil running over me and just all over my mind, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, that will be anointed for God and running over my heart so it will be anointed for the purposes of God. Because why? Because we get into the world and we start holding on to the things of this world. And the anointing goes away because we get wore down by the things of the world. But not only were they cleansed with water, in a sense, they were baptized in this oil. In the sense, they were baptized. Because Aaron takes this oil anointing, because Aaron is the one that receives the anointing from God, his sons actually partake as well. In fact, go back to Exodus chapter 29, and did you notice that? It's actually in verses 8 and 9. It says, "Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put on hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons." Because of their, again, their relationship to their father Aaron, they too were able to serve as priests. They too were entered into this priestly line. It's because of your relationship to Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ alone that you are linked to the blessings of God. I always like to think about how God feels about Christ. Those words that he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And if we're connected to Christ, those same words come to us. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. God is well pleased with you because the faith that you put into Christ. And that alone. Peter said it this way. In fact, I have this verse. Technology. 1 Peter 2:9. It may show up eventually. It says, but you are a chosen generation. We've actually looked at this before. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about that. That connection, did it ever come up? Did not. Gotta love it. You are a chosen, this is Peter talking. We know who Peter is. You know Peter who always stuck his foot in his mouth? Peter who always said the dumbest things when the Lord was alive? Here is this same Peter, thank you, that says this. But you are a chosen generation. God wants all to come into his family. A royal priesthood. There's the priestly line that we are all in. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did we sing that tonight? Marvelous light? You got to love God. To think that we can proclaim the praises of him. When's the last time you just told somebody something great about God? You just told them about what you love most about God. Whether it's his forgiveness, whether it's his compassion on you, whether it's the blessing that he pours on you, whether it's just the salvation. When's the last time we proclaim the goodness of God? I think what happens is the opposite. We usually come out of our mouths with the complaints. God's forgot me. Why is God taking so long to get me what I need? Instead, we have the ability to proclaim the praise of him who called us out of darkness. I don't even like to think about what my life would have been without Christ. I don't even like to think about it. Had I never accepted him. I mean, I know the 26 years I lived without him. I know the direction I was going. One selfish guy that just wanted to get everything he could out of this life. And then God got a hold of my heart. He took me out of darkness and into his marvelous light that my eyes have been opened, and now I can live for him. Live for him. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. Look with me at verse 10. We've got the washing, we've got the anointing. Now we have the animal sacrifices. Verse 10, you shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull, with its skin and its offal, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. The bull that was sacrificed is the sin offering, the first one, okay? It was to remove the sins of Aaron and his sons. Let's not forget something. Just because God calls you, just because God ordains you to the ministry, does not mean you're sinless. No one is sinless. So the first thing God institutes after the washing, after the anointing, now let's make sure that their sins are taken care of. Let's remove the sins that are here. Here we see the first of three sacrifices as part of this, again, ordination ceremony. Isn't it wonderful? Placing the hand upon the bull and then killing the animal. We'll see this several more times. Think about that. I keep telling you that. But how serious would you get with your sin if you had to constantly put your hand on a living animal and watch it die? I mean, I know we live in some times where when animals are suffer, I mean, everybody's against that. But here God says, put your hand upon the head of this bull and then kill that bull. That animal must die for your sin. How serious would you get about your sin? If I knew I had to stand before God or a high priest and put my hand on a bull and that animal's life would die, I would be a lot more serious about my sin. It's the seriousness of sin. That the atonement, the covering of sin, must cost a life. Okay? This sin atonement here. There can be no true ministry without sacrifice. Sacrifice must be had. And the high priest, their sins must have been washed, had to be washed prior. Jesus said the same thing, my friends, but in a different light. Jesus said this in Matthew 16:24 to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Sacrifice. Sacrifice. To be a follower of Jesus takes sacrifice. I like what the New Living Translation says about this verse. Jesus says to his disciples, if any of you wants to be a follower of mine, you must turn away from your selfish ways. See, because God isn't just telling us to deny life. God isn't just saying, deny everything that you hold dear in your life. He's just saying, deny the things that you're holding on to more than me. Deny those things. Your selfish ways. I don't know about you, I can be pretty selfish. Right? I mean, we can sit in this room and go, man, I'm cold or I'm hot. I'm selfish. It's like the temperature needs to be right for me, right? If it's right for me, it's not going to be right for you. We're selfish people, don't you think? I mean, I think the world should revolve around me. I think every traffic light should be green for me, right? I mean, we're just selfish. And God is saying, listen, if you want to be a follower of mine, you're going to have to deny yourself, your selfish desires, those things that do not honor me. I think it's okay to have desires in life. I think God wants us to have desires. In fact, the Bible says, seek God with all your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So what we're seeing here is this sin offering, this sacrifice that must be made. God is setting the stage and teaching us that, you know, sin is serious and it must be dealt with. And before you can be used by God, your sin needs to be taken care of. Before you can sit down with someone and tell them about the forgiveness of God, the love of God, you have to experience that for yourself. I can remember a time early in the ministry for me. There was a gentleman and his wife were coming to our Bible study at the time. And they were talking about getting a divorce. She wanted to leave him. And I remember getting on the phone with him and just praying with him and saying, listen, man, we need to just trust that God's going to change these circumstances. We just need to pray that God can do something to change her heart, change your heart. I mean, I want to encourage you to love on her. I want to encourage you to pray for her, these types of things. And immediately he turns and says, well, you have no idea what I'm going through because you've never experienced divorce. And for a minute, I was like, yeah, he's right. I mean, I never haven't. But one thing I told him is, I have experienced the forgiveness of God. I have experienced the love of God in my life. And it's the same God that's going to forgive you or be involved in this situation if you put your faith and trust in him for this as it was anything else that I would go through. And so that's why it's so important that we understand that our sins need to be cleansed. Our sins need to be taken to God. There's no reason for us to hide them. There's no reason for us to hold them. There's no reason for you to be burdened with your sin because you can at any time take them to the Lord. You don't have to wait till the next morning and bring a bull. Tonight, if you're burdened with some sin, tonight's the night to give it over to God. Whether it's pride, selfishness, whatever it is, give it to God. Let him take it away. Because if that sin may be holding you back from God using you. Because he cannot use sinful people, but he provides for them here. So the sacrifice of the bull was for a sin offering. And as Aaron and his sons put their hands on the bull, they acknowledged their own sin. Guys, sometimes it just takes acknowledging it, don't you think? Acknowledging the sin in our lives. We shouldn't kid ourselves. We shouldn't joke with ourselves. We wouldn't think we're that good. We should realize that there's sin in our lives. They understood that to deal with their sin required nothing less than blood to be shed. Later on, this would become an offering for all the children of Israel for sins, listen, that were committed in ignorance. This was the sin offering for sins that they didn't even know that they committed. I mean, the obvious ones are there, aren't they? But what about the ones we're not so obvious in our lives? God provides for that. Provide for that. But notice in verse 14, but the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Why is this? Why is a portion burnt on the altar and the other portion taken outside? Because it's sin. Okay? And everything inside the tabernacle, the courtyard, is holy to God. So sin was taken outside the camp and burned outside the camp. In fact, look at Hebrews verse 13. Let's see if that works. Hey, look at that. That one worked. Hebrews 13 says this, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus died on the cross outside the gates of Jerusalem. He was the sin offering. He was this offering for all, that the sins of the world could be forgiven through Jesus Christ. The ones we know about and the ones we don't know about. Have you ever asked that? Have you ever prayed, God, forgive me of this sin, that sin, this sin, and the ones I don't even know about? Help me, God. I think it's a psalm that search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me. That's the heart of a true follower of God. Say, God, I feel like I'm doing pretty good, but I know I'm not. Is there something that I'm falling short with? Show me, God, show me. Jesus was this sin offering for us. Verse 15. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it on all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces with its entrails and its legs and put them with its pieces and with its head. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire. Here the first ram. If the first bull was sin, this first ram is for service. Okay, one for sin. This ram was sacrificed for service unto the Lord. Following the sin offering is the burnt offering, signifying devotion to God. This sacrifice later on for the children of Israel was an optional sacrifice. Not all sacrifices that God set were mandatory. The sin offering, for sure. But here, this one, the burnt offering for service was our devotion, signifying devotion to God, our commitment to the Lord. And again, this would be a voluntary sacrifice for the children of Israel. But honestly, should it be something for us to even consider? Our devotion to the Lord? Our devotion to God, our commitment to Him, to serving Him. Notice this particular sacrifice is completely burnt at the altar. Talking about total devotion. Complete and utter devotion to God. So this was the service sacrifice. And lastly, this is where we'll close. The second ram was for sanctification. This other ram was a peace offering for sanctification. Look at verse 19. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram, and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his sons' garments shall be hallowed or made holy, and his sons' garments with him. Also you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and the fat of them. Isn't this exciting? I mean, what a wonderful ceremony, right? Such joy. Two kidneys and that of them, and the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. One loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And you shall put all these into the hands of Aaron and his hands of his sons. And you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord, is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of the ram and of Aaron's consecration, and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be by your portion. It shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering which is raised, of which is for Aaron and for that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever, for it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is, their heave offerings to the Lord. What is he saying here? The final one is this sanctification offering. We notice that there's blood where? The ear, the thumb, and the foot. Sanctifying. God is cleansing by blood the things that they will hear, the things that they will touch, and the places that they will go by the blood. He's anointing them in this way, signifying that our shortcomings in what we've heard and what we've done and where we're walking are to be covered and cleansed, forgiven because of the blood. God does a total job here, doesn't he? He completely covers them. See, the same is true for you and I here tonight. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Because you are in the family of God, you are connected to Jesus Christ. And because you have received him, I pray tonight, everyone here has accepted him. To them, he says in 1 John, or in John's gospel, he says, to them is given the right to be called children of God. He cleanses the things that we hear. I don't know about you, but I hear things now and my heart just sinks. I can remember listening to a radio station in Florida before I was saved, but the first time I listened to it after I got saved, I about threw up in my car. I couldn't believe I even thought that stuff was funny. God changed the way I heard things. God changed the way I saw things. God changed the way I handled things. Immediately after I got saved, I was no longer looking to strive to acquire things. You know, I was one of those guys before I got saved, whoever dies with the most toys wins. I was like, accumulate stuff, make a lot of money. That's what success is all about. God changed that. He anointed my feet with places that I would go, the things that I would do. And not because I was being burdened by the things that God has shown me, but because I was looking for those clear boundaries that God said, operate within these boundaries and I will bless you. No longer did I need to go to those places and do the things that I used to do. Sadly, I had a couple set of friends that said they liked the old Rob better. And I had to tell them, the old Rob died. The old drunk Rob, the old vulgar Rob, the old Rob that did all those things that you, it's not me anymore. God changed me. When we look at these things and we look at the sin that was in our life that God wants to take away, and when we look at the service that God wants us to do, I mean, I think of you parents and the service that you are to your children, the things that you're to teach your kids. You need the anointing from the Holy Spirit. You need that anointing from God. You need that cleansing. You need to be those examples. You know your kids are watching you. They're going to do what you do. Like looking in a mirror, I guess, watching your kids. That's why I love talking to your kids. Find out a lot of the things that go on in your house. No. Before we leave, again, I want to say this. Don't miss what Aaron and his sons had to do. Absolutely nothing. They didn't have to do a thing. Everything was done for them. God ordained them. God cleansed them with water. God anointed them with oil. Though Moses may have poured the oil on them, it was God who anointed them. And these sacrifices took away sin. Man can't do that. God can only do that. And to dedicate them into service, to be completely devoted to God, that's something that God does. And then finally, to sanctify, which means to set apart. Are you set apart? Are you different than people around you? Especially your non-believing people around you. Are you different? Do you stand out in a crowd? See, because I think we tend to think, I better do this, or I have to do that. I've got to read more. I've got to study more. I do it. As a pastor, when I read about some of the writings of Spurgeon and stuff, I'm like, oh, I beat my chest. I'm a sinful man. It's like, God, we need to pray more. And that's what we're going to see next week when we finish this. At the end of this chapter is a very beautiful picture of our commitment to God, our devotion to the Lord. But listen, we tend to think if we got to do it, we have to do it. This shows us that Aaron and his sons didn't have to do anything but just receive it. And I think tonight, some of you here just need to receive the love of God. Just need to receive the fact that God loves you, He cares about you, He will use you. You don't really have to do very much, but make yourself available. I said this before, make yourself available to God and He will use you. Does it mean step out in faith? Absolutely. Does it mean He's going to ask you to do some things that might be a little scary? Absolutely. He's going to say, open your mouth and tell people about me. And that's got to come from your heart. It cannot come from your head. So it's a service, though it may have been bloody. God was preparing Aaron and his sons for service to God. Leaving tonight, think about what is God doing to prepare you? Not necessarily for ministry, but prepare you to be a better Christian. Think about that.